And now it's over to Lou.
Morning, everyone.
Hands up if you've ever had a bad day. Anyone ever had a bad day? I've had a bad day sometimes. I had a bad day this week. Did anyone else have a bad day at all this week? Is anyone having a bad day today so far? Okay, I'm sorry. I hope it gets better. I'm going to tell you a story about... it's not a story. It's something that happened to Joe. It's about a bad day that Joe had. So Joe was cycling to school one day. But all of a sudden, she fell off her bike. Joe tried to get up, but then she realised that she'd hurt her leg.
I've hurt my leg.
Just then, Joe saw somebody walking by.
It's a head boy from my school.
So Joe shouted, the head boy looked over at Joe, but it was beginning to get dark and there was a lot of traffic. He felt too scared to stop and help, so he just walked right past. Sometime later, Joe saw a second person approaching and she recognised them.
It's one of my teachers!
So Joe shouted, but the teacher was running late. He still had a lot of work to do and he didn't want to miss the start of X Factor, so he just walked right past. Not long after, a third person walked by. Joe soon recognised them. It was somebody from the other school. The people from Joe's school didn't like the people from the other school, and the people from the other school didn't like them back. But the boy from the other school saw Joe and he took pity on her. He went over and he gave her a plaster for her knee. Then, okay, let's let her put it on. Then he lent her his mobile phone to call his mum, to call her mum. And then he gave her £20 to get a taxi home. When Jo got home, she started thinking to herself, wow, you soon learn who your friends are. And that, hopefully, will make a lot more sense when we have our Bible reading in a few minutes.
Now, the drama we just saw was kind of like a modern adaptation of The Good Samaritan, and that's what we're looking at this morning. And I wonder whether you are able to get yourselves in order of the story, okay? So I want you to have a think about it, The Good Samaritan, okay? So we've got some boxing gloves here, okay? We've got a Holiday Inn logo. We've got a first aid kit. We've got a dog's collar. We have got cross. We've got some money in a purse, and we've got some boots, okay? Right, okay, I'm actually going to read the story, and I want the first person, okay? So someone just shout out the item that should be right at the beginning, and then we'll get in order, okay? So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Okay, so a teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to receive eternal life? Jesus answered, what do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them? The man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You are right, Jesus replied, do this and you will live. But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? So Jesus answered, there was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem. He was walking along a dusty road. Talia, bring your boots up here. So as he was walking along, unfortunately, some robbers attacked him. Boxing gloves, yes. And they beat him up, leaving him half dead. It just so happened that a priest was going down that road. But when he saw the man, he walked on by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, cross, also came along, went over and looked at the man, and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds, and got the first aid kit and bandaged them. And then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn. Other inns are out there. Take care of him, he told the innkeeper. And when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him. And Jesus concluded, in your opinion, which one of these three acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by the robbers? The teacher of the law answered, the one who was kind to him. Jesus replied, you go then and do the same. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you very much, everyone. Right, if you put your items down. That's lovely. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good morning. So, put your hand up if you knew the story of the Good Samaritan before you saw those objects. However, would you be able to write the story of the Good Samaritan in an examination? Because a lot of GCSE students need to know that story. And being able to tell it will get them a GCSE in religious education. So we looked at the Good Samaritan in several different ways this morning. We've had the drama. We've had the objects. We've read it from the Bible. You didn't expect the boy who was from a different school to help the person who had fallen off their bike, did you? And in the Good Samaritan, in Jesus' day, the man who had been beaten up did not expect the Good Samaritan to help him. So, in the next few minutes, we're going to look at 3 points. Point number one, why did Jesus tell this parable? It's a good question. Number two, who is my neighbor? And number three, what does go and do likewise mean? I've got a little competition running throughout the next few minutes. I will give you a prize if you can tell me how many times I mentioned the word neighbor. That's two so far, by the way. And I'll give you a prize also if you can tell me how many times I mention a way of helping somebody. That's zero so far. Okay. So, what is the context of this parable? Well, at first glance, it seems pretty obvious why Jesus told this parable. He was trying to teach the crowd about being a good neighbor. That's three. So he saw an opportunity to teach the Christian virtues. You know, the Christian virtues we all know. You treat others as you wish to be treated.
Say thank you.
Thank you. Help the poor.
Give a classmate your sandwich.
Heal the sick.
Perhaps visit a hospital.
What about the other one? Feed the hungry.
Invite someone to dinner.
Oh, that's a good idea. Shelter the homeless.
Raise money for charity.
What about see to the lonely?
Let a classmate borrow your bike.
But did the crowd in Jesus' day need to hear about these good things? Did they not know them already? Or was Jesus talking about a deeper meaning? Put your hand up if you're at school. Have you ever tested your teacher? Have you ever said to your teacher, asked your teacher a question, but you knew the answer? Just wanted to check to see if your teacher knew the answer. Or put your hand up if you've ever tested your parents. Okay. Take 30 seconds, say hello to the person next to you, behind you, and tell them about that time. This is talking time. You can actually talk now. 30 seconds, when did you test somebody? Go.
I tested Matthew.
Let's get a few ideas. Has anyone got something to share? Has anyone tested anyone? Have you tested anyone?
Yes.
Go on, tell us about it.
We had to do a maths challenge at school, and we got to take the papers home, and I gave it to my dad.
Oh, you tested your dad? Did he get them right?
I don't know.
Oh.
Help.
Okay. Any older people, have you tested anyone in your lives because, I don't know, you wanted to check it out?
I tested my mum in Latin and ancient Greek.
Did she get it right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I've got a few ideas that I was thinking about. Certainly one that I've asked my teachers is, what is the point in learning trigonometry? They didn't have an answer. What's the point in learning Pythagoras, for example? I always ask that question. Got a good GCSE in maths in the end. What about, what came first, the chicken or the...
Hey.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Test those adults. What about, miss, what's the highest number? Sir, how big is the universe? Ever tried those ones? Try it on Monday. Well, in Luke, in the Bible, Jesus was tested by a teacher of the law. And this is the question that the teacher of the law asked.
What must I do to inherit eternal life?
Wow. A big philosophical question. And of course, the underlying assumption of the teacher of the law is that by being religious, he can, of course, get into heaven. Being religious. But they thought they could make themselves acceptable before the Almighty God and deserve eternal life. Perhaps knowing he had an expert before him, Jesus answered the question with a question. Has your teacher ever done that? Why do we need trigonometry? Why do you think? Well, Jesus did that. He said, well,
what is written in the law? How do you read it?
The teacher of the law, he had to think a moment. Now, interestingly, Jesus was tested on this point, as we read in Matthew 22. We can also read that in Mark 12. And if we go back a screen, and again, there we are. Let's listen.
Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied.
And how did he reply? Who knows? Go on, let's give you the microphone.
To love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your body, I think, yeah.
Oh, you've read my notes. And there was a second commandment, but let's look at that first one. It's on the screen. Let's say it out loud. So Jesus replied altogether, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And Jesus went on, as we read.
This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it.
And we read, love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. So Jesus had already picked up the two most important commandments from the Old Testament. And the teacher of the law, he knew them. So, what does love the Lord your God mean? When I was reflecting on this, I found that hard. I found that really hard. I was thinking, do I love the Lord my God? Julian, if you go back a screen. Do I love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind? I had to say no, honestly. I get up in the morning, put my clothes on, grab some breakfast, jump on my bike, go to the station, get on the train, check my emails, get to work, teach 5 lessons, French and German, come back home, give Nathaniel something to eat, or maybe Claire's done that because I've got home later, had a meeting, he goes to bed, Claire goes to bed, then I go to bed, and it all starts again the next day. And I think, Did I today love God with all my heart? If I ever give myself the chance to think that thought, my answer may have been no. What about with all my soul and with all my mind? That goes deeper. So again, I struggle with this one. And I struggle before important decisions in my life sometimes to remember to say, God, I've got an important interview coming up, for example. Have I given you this interview? Have I given you my granddad, who I've just found out has cancer of the kidneys? Have I given God Nathaniel? Have I given God Claire? And sometimes, honestly, I have to say no, I haven't, on a daily basis. And so I struggle with this. And we read that also the teacher of the law struggled with this in the Good Samaritan. So, who is the Samaritan? If we go on two or three screens, Julian. There we are, look at that. So this represents the society in Jesus' day, perhaps, a simplified version. So there we have the priest and the Levite up the top, the most important people. They can't do anything wrong. They know the law, they received it from Moses, and they teach it and more or less followed it. And then as we look further towards the outside, you've got the Samaritans, the low people in society. In terms of the Jewish structure, not as lowly as the Gentiles, they were the non-Jews, but the Samaritans weren't far away. So the Samaritans, they were people who lived in the northern part of Israel, a town called, do we know? Samaria, that's where we get the name. Who's a Chelmsfordian? Anyone a Chelmsfordian here? Where'd you come from? There we are. So a Samaritan comes from Samaria. You know, they were hated. They weren't liked. They did not follow the Jewish law. They did not follow what the Levites wanted them to follow. They were pagan. They also hated the Jews. There was a fight between them. All throughout the Bible we see, just like Jo on her bike, her school did not like the students from the other school. There was a conflict there. They did not like each other. So, of course, when asked whom to regard as our neighbour, Jesus, of course, told the story with the Good Samaritan, precisely because the Samaritans were hated. They were outcasts, enemies of the nationals. They were heretics of the law, a minority group in society. I can think of some in England who might be in a minority. Outsiders, ill-treated, left alone, lonely. Okay, there's a question on the next screen. The question that you're going to talk to the people around you with is, has there ever been a time in your life when you have felt like a Samaritan, hated, lonely, an enemy, isolated, ill-treated? That's a bit too personal for you. Why don't you talk about someone else in society who looks like a Samaritan? 30 seconds. It's a hard question. Okay, has anyone got any ideas of perhaps other people in society that might be ill-treated? Or times when you felt like a Samaritan? Yeah, it's a bit of a deep, meaningful question, that. Let's not embarrass anyone with asking anyone. Hopefully you've had an idea, time to think about what it feels like to be a Samaritan. Of course, the big question was, who is my neighbour? So the story is, of course, cast into a modern-day version. We've seen it with the schoolboy on the bike. There's so many different versions if you were to look into modern culture. I was thinking, what could the equivalent be today, apart from a boy falling off his bike? I was thinking maybe a nurse who has broken down alongside the road. And the first person who comes along is a businessman but he's too busy. He's got a meeting to get to, so he goes off. What about the second person? Could it be a popular member of parliament who walks past? No. Important hustings to get to. What about the third person? I'm thinking a minority group. Could we suggest maybe that a Syrian immigrant helps the nurse alongside the road and gives her £20, phones AA for her because he's got the family? Yeah, I'm just thinking, what is the modern adaptation for us? You didn't expect that. You don't expect these things because it's the person who morally should be at the bottom of the agenda, who doesn't understand how to help people. 30 seconds with the person next to you. Who else in society is avoided or hated? Do we avoid foreign people? Do we avoid Muslims? Have a chat. I understand that this is obviously a difficult question to ask, but would anyone like to share something that they may have been speaking about? It's a difficult question, isn't it? Is anyone wanting to share? Yeah?
I think still,
aren't we? Blue humpback whale that's 45 feet long.
Okay, you do avoid the big fish, definitely, because they might eat you. Have you got one? Go on, Adam.
A shark.
Yeah, definitely a shark. Definitely avoid them. Yeah. Sometimes I avoid people who come and knock on my door because I'm busy watching TV. Has anyone got any other ideas? Oh, one over here.
Cyclists.
Rude. Yeah. We'll leave that one there, shall we? So, all of these people that we've been talking about may be some people who have... how can we put this? We sometimes have a lower opinion of them. Sometimes, if we're being honest, we might avoid them. Sometimes, if we're being honest, we may not have honest conversations with them. Or, if we're being honest, we may not even come across them in society. But they still exist. And that day, of course, when we do come across them, what are we going to do? We're shocked when it's indeed this person who we perhaps avoid, who we hate, who in the end turns out to be our Good Samaritan. So, finally, what does "you go and do likewise" mean? Or "you go and do the same"? This is what Jesus said at the end of the Good Samaritan. Perhaps a lonely man living next door needs a cuppa. Maybe a colleague is struggling to meet the deadline and needs a task taken from her. Perhaps a classmate needs to borrow a pen, a book. What about your boss, who's clearly stressed and would welcome a bar of chocolate and a smile? What about the strange-looking commuter you see every day? And actually, after 5 years, it's probably time to say hello. What about the new girl in school who's being bullied and needs a friend? What about the Central Baptist Church face whose name I don't know, who I'm going to encourage today with a hello? Next week, maybe I'll invite them around to lunch. Or maybe they need prayer after the service. And going under the cross, that's for other people. So I'm going to ask them sitting in the pew if they need prayer after the service. Yeah. That's all obvious, you're going to say to me. You can tell whether someone needs help. But what about if it's not physical? What about if you don't need to help the mother with a pram up the stairs? What about if it's emotional?
Tend to listening in.
What about if it's psychological?
reassuring someone and checking in a day later.
Or maybe it's spiritual.
Praying today and every day this week.
What about if it's about a relationship?
Offering advice or lending a listening ear.
And if someone's at school, what about if they need some help with education?
Helping with the homework or lending a book.
30 seconds. Last time. With people around you, what one thing will you do today, tomorrow, this week to follow Jesus' command, which is you go and do likewise? Think about it. Talk with the people amongst you. Do you have an opportunity? 30 seconds. Okay. It's a personal thing, isn't it? It's not something you can be told to do. It's not something that you can force. There's always opportunities to be that good Samaritan or to be the person who feels a bit beaten down and needs to accept some generosity from somebody who is the least likely person. Okay, let's conclude as we come to our Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Good Samaritan. Thank you for helping us when we feel unable, when we feel exhausted, when we feel not in the right frame of mind, when we feel hurt. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us at those times. And Lord, we ask that you would give us your Holy Spirit so that we may indeed bless others. Let us, Lord, take on the role of the Good Samaritan today. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen.